Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas Aries. My name is Scott Biasich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. or at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me. My phone number is 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. Today we're going to be in the book of Micah, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Micah 5, verse 1. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops, siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor is given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Now we are used to verse 2. We know verse 2. Bethlehem is where the Messiah is to be born. And that's where this comes from. This is so well known that when the wise men from the east come to Jerusalem in Jesus' day to worship the king that's born, King of the Jews, the religious leaders, they quote this verse from Micah. They know this verse is about the Messiah. And what's fascinating, though, is what do the religious leaders, what do they do with the knowledge that the King of the Jews has been born, the Messiah that they've been looking for has been born? What do they do with this knowledge? Look with me at Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Well, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, we are used to only looking at these verses during the Christmas season, aren't we? Let's take a moment, however. Let's think about this. These wise men, they show up in Jerusalem, and they're asking about the Christ, or Messiah, the King of the Jews. And all, the text tells us, all of Jerusalem is troubled. Herod's troubled, the religious leaders are troubled, the people are troubled. And what does everyone do with this information that the King of the Jews has been born. No, really, what do? Herod makes plans to kill the child. Now, we're going to ignore him for the moment, because that's the common reaction of any despotic ruler. If there's anyone who's going to challenge his authority, anyone who's going to challenge his power, well, we just kill them and get rid of them. So we're going to ignore Herod. He's behaving as is expected. But what about everybody else? What is the city? They're troubled. What do they do? Answer: nothing. They do nothing. What about the religious leaders, the chief priests? They have been summoned by Herod. They've been asked, where's the Christ to be born? And they tell him, Bethlehem. What do they do with this information that the King of the Jews has been born, the Christ? They call him the Christ. He's been born. These guys have come, these wise men have come to worship him. What do the religious leaders, the chief priests, what do they do with this information? Nothing. They do nothing. The Jews prayed yearly, even daily, for the Messiah to come, to save them, to rescue them, to be their leader. And here they receive news that the Christ, the Messiah, is here. And what do the people do? They do nothing. It should not surprise those of us who believe in Jesus today that the world hears about salvation through Jesus, the Christ. He is the Christ. It's been proven. The world does nothing. The world has been doing nothing for thousands of years now. The Christ has been born. He lived among us. He walked among us. He showed us the way. He showed us the way in which we should live, the way in which we should go. He has given to us eternal life. He went to the cross and died for us. He was buried, resurrected, and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And the world does nothing. I pray that you do not fall into this category. Please do not settle back and do nothing, because God, the Christ, came for you. Let's go back to the book of Micah, though, shall we? This way, not only can we look at and understand that the Messiah has come, but also we can look at what Micah tells us, and we can know what the Christ, the Messiah, is to be about, what he's to be like, right? Now, I know we can read our New Testament, and that's all well and good, and we will get there eventually. But right now, I want to focus on what God tells us the Christ will be like from the book of Micah. So, Micah chapter 5, the first three verses of this chapter, they reveal to us that Israel is going to be in captivity. They're going to be under control of another nation when the Christ child comes. It's no wonder that everyone is looking for the Messiah. When Jesus is born, they're looking for the Messiah to get Judah out from under the thumb of Rome when Jesus is born. And in the middle of all of this going on, in little Bethlehem, Micah tells us, the Messiah is supposed to be born. Remember, now remember, when Jesus is born, the King of the Jews, the baby, Jesus, he's ignored by the religious leaders. Now, Herod wants to kill him because he's a threat to his power, but the religious leaders, they ignore Jesus, the Messiah. Why is that? And the answer is because he's of no use to them. See, he's just a baby right now. They need a warrior. They need a leader. They need somebody to go before their armies to overthrow the Romans. They don't need a baby. A baby is no use to them. And so the religious leaders do nothing. They do nothing because they do not understand what the Christ child's about. They want a military leader who's going to free them from Rome. But when Jesus is older, when he's a grown man, when he is walking about Jerusalem and all of Judea and teaching and preaching, that's when the religious leaders get offended. That's when they start taking notice of Jesus and they say, "You cannot be the Christ child. You cannot be the Messiah." Why not? Well, because you don't do what we say you should be doing. Jesus, God, has never done what mankind has said God should be doing. God has always done what God will do. The question is, will you be with God or will you be fighting against God? Let's go back to Micah. Verse 2 of chapter 5 here. is very interesting. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Let me repeat part of that for emphasis this morning. One who is to be ruler in Israel. We understand that's Jesus, right? We're talking about Jesus. He's to be ruler. But notice what else Micah says. Whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Again, we know that Jesus is Lord. He's ruler. But did you catch that last part? Whose origin is from old, from ancient days? See, Micah, as he records his prophecy, Jesus is before Micah. He's before all of this. He is ancient days. The only other place this is used in Scripture is in the book of Daniel, where several times Daniel will use the phrase, not ancient days, but ancient of days, and he's going to be speaking about the Father in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, for example. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, a thousand of thousands. And served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. You skip down to verse 13, and Daniel says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Now, I know, Daniel, that as he speaks here of the Ancient of Days, he's speaking about the Father, not the Son, Jesus. He's speaking about the Father. And the Son of Man is obviously Jesus. So you have the Ancient of Days, and you have the Son of Man given to us by Daniel. And notice here in these verses, though, that Jesus is to receive a kingdom from the Father. Just as Micah recorded for us in his book, remember, Micah tells us years before Daniel, that there he will be a ruler in Israel. So what kind of a ruler does Micah tell us this Christ, this Messiah, this Jesus would be like? Once more, let's go back to the text of Micah, chapter 5. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. We read this. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brethren shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. How does the apostle Peter consider Jesus? In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 4, Peter writes this, and when the chief shepherd appears, speaking of Jesus, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter calls Jesus the chief shepherd, just as Micah does. Likewise, Jesus himself will teach us that he is the good shepherd. And this good shepherd is such, not just in name, but also in deed. In action. Turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 10. And Jesus, listen to what Jesus says about the Good Shepherd. He says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Oh, there's so much in this text that we don't have time to deal with today. Notice, first of all, that Jesus has charge or responsibility, not just of his death, but also his resurrection. Likewise, as he speaks here, one flock, one shepherd, we all recognize that there is just one Lord. His name is Jesus. There's only one flock for Jesus, one church. And yet our world is busy trying to create so many churches, you can't count them. Who do you think is right, Jesus or all these churches? All right, but that's not the focus today. The focus today is Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He tells us this, and he shows us why he's the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd because the sheep hear his voice and follow him. We follow Jesus, this one flock. Not only that, but he is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus went to the cross for us. He died on the cross for our sins, for mine, for yours, for the sins of the whole world. We can all follow Jesus. We can all be sheep of Jesus. He is the good shepherd. He has laid down his life. It doesn't matter how good of a sheep you are or how bad of a sheep you are, if you're following Jesus, that's what we need to be about. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus, as the good shepherd, he has laid down his life for us. We, as sheep, should be following him. But what's interesting to contemplate, to think about this morning, is that Jesus didn't just make this up wholesale. This was prophesied by Micah hundreds of years before. Now, again, remember, Micah's already established for us. He is of ancient days, meaning Jesus preceded Micah. And indeed, you can find that over and over again through the scriptures from David, King David, prophesying about the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The scriptures are filled with references that tell us that Jesus preceded, even if you read the book of Ephesians and the beginning of the Gospel of John, even before creation, he was there. All things were created through him, Paul will tell us in Colossians. Over and over again, we read in Scripture, Jesus. The name's not known, but we know that Jesus was there as a part of the Godhead in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created through him. So here, as we look at Micah, the good shepherd, Jesus didn't make this up. Micah has prophesied this, directed by God, of course, by the Holy Spirit. He is the ancient days, the one that we have been told he would be, the good shepherd. The Jews, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, they thought he would be a soldier. After all, the Israelites, the Jews, they would be oppressed. Oh yeah, so how do you get rid of an oppressor? And the answer for most mankind is, well, you just need a war, right? That's how you get rid of oppressors. You get a war. And to have a war, you need a leader. You need a king. You need a warrior, right? A king who rules with the sword. And yet Micah here, and they know that this is talking about the Christ because he's to be born in Bethlehem. Micah tells us he's to be a shepherd, not a warrior. He is a shepherd. And Jesus confirms this for us. He came not to rule with the sword, although many Christians try to make him do so. He came to rule, yes, with an iron rod, discipline, yes. But he also came to rule with a shepherd's crook, to lead, to guide and direct us. And those who follow Jesus, they know his voice. We Christians know who we are, and we know who our leader is. We know who our Lord is. His name is Jesus. Now, as Micah finishes this section, he says, we dwell securely in peace. Again, we know who Jesus is. We know who we are. He's our king. We are his subjects. What can this world do to us and against us? We are his sheep. We follow him, right? But also in this section, Micah also tells us that he is our brother. Jesus is God. Yes, yes, he is. Jesus, and Micah tells us he's from ancient days. But Micah also tells us that he is our brother. Micah gives us both ideas of God, but also man in the flesh. We call him Jesus. right? And humanity has struggled with trying to understand this ever since Jesus came and lived among us and showed his deity, but also showed his humanity. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. See, we Christians, we are his brothers. Jesus became human. He came in the flesh. Paul in the book of Philippians will write about how he set aside his deity to become human and walk among us. And Micah prophesied this hundreds of years before Jesus came in the flesh. And by his death, the Hebrew writer tells us, he destroyed the devil's power over us, for we no longer fear death. We're no longer held in slavery to death, to sin, or to Satan. They have no hold over us as Christians. Jesus, our brother, has set us free. This, the writer tells us in Hebrews, makes him the perfect, merciful, and faithful high priest, our good shepherd from before ancient days. The power of what Micah has laid out here in this little prophecy should encourage and inspire us Christians, and we should study well to understand all the ramifications that come with this. It is no wonder that as Micah finishes this section speaking about the Christ with the proclamation that Jesus will be our peace. Earlier, he had spoken about how Christians were to turn their spears into plows, right? We are not warriors in the human realm. We fight in the spiritual realm. We have no need of the implements of war. Why? Because Jesus is our King. He is our Messiah, and he leads us in the way of peace as our good shepherd. So this morning, do you trust the Good Shepherd? Do you trust the one from ancient days? Do you trust the good brother? Do you trust the high priest? Do you trust Micah? Do you trust Jesus? If not, why not? Everything which Micah lays out here for the Messiah is fulfilled in Jesus. It isn't coincidence. It is purposeful. God's in charge. He has shown us what will happen, and then it did happen. God knows what he's doing. Are you willing to trust a deity who wants to give you a full life and spoke about this life thousands of years before you were born? He came to free you. Will you let him free you? Will you heed his voice and follow him? I pray today that you will make the right choice. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
I will stand in the congregation, and I will exalt you. I will stand in the congregation, and I will exalt you.
Let the children of your salvation lift their praises to Hallelujah. I will stand in the congregation and I will praise your name. I will stand in the congregation and I will praise your name. With your people in every nation, I will shout this praise, Hallelujah. 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 We will join as a congregation and we will exalt you. We will join as a congregation and we will exalt you. We will sing as all creation lifts this song anew.